Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Gernard Reed with the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and God Blocked It. I love that song, and we are coming to you live this morning, and we are as part of the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and I'm happy to be before you this morning with a word from the Lord. Our outreach number is 804-313-7853. Again, I give this information at the end of the broadcast as well because we love to hear from you. The email is goteachandbaptize@gmail, all one word spelled out. That's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. We want to, again, it's 804-313-7853. I want to turn your attention to the book of St. Luke. This morning, and the St. Luke in the 19th chapter and the 13th verse. We'll give you some opportunity and some time to turn to that valuable scripture this morning. I hope you have your Bibles handy. It's St. Luke, the 19th chapter and the 13th verse. I'm excited this morning about Jeremiah Speaks, and certainly grateful to our partner in the ministry, and that is the Fivefold Ministry and the Apostle Margie Mercer. As I understand, she has returned from her special assignment and is back on the air again this morning. But I'm delighted to talk about this week. A mighty move of the Lord has happened. And this coming week, starting on tomorrow on Labor Day, we're actually going to go to a Monday through Friday format as well as the Sunday broadcast. So we will continue Jeremiah Speaks coming to you at 8:30 every Sunday morning. But on tomorrow, beginning on tomorrow at 7 p.m., we will come to you from 7 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. every day of the week except Saturday. So we will come Monday through Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. with a word from the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And then, as always, we will be with you at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. I come back to you. I come to you from the Word of God, and the book of Luke, the 19th chapter and the 13th verse, and that simply reads, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." That's the message this morning, is occupy till I come. He called his 10 servants. He delivered them 10 pounds each and said unto them, occupy till I come. This is the word of God for the people of God, even so, saith the Spirit. Let us pray. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, we are glad to come before you this one more time. We are thankful that you woke us up this morning, put us on the wake-up list this morning. And then, Lord, you came and blessed us with the movement of our activities and limbs. And, Lord, we thank you for another day's journey and walk. And even as I preach this morning, the sunlight is bursting through the glass and all but blinding me. It's so bright and beautiful this morning. So we thank you as we've entered into September, and even the summer is coming to an end. We pray, Father, that your will be done. We pray that you will sanctify this message. We pray that you will take the preacher and make him able to preach. And whoever's listening, we pray, Father, that you will open all of our ears that we might hear what the Spirit is saying into the church. Preach, O Lord, this morning, that the will of the Lord will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is called commonly in commentaries the parable of the 10 minas found in Luke, the 19th chapter. Many of us are probably familiar with some version of that because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each of the gospel writers in some way, shape, or form tells a story very similar to this. Matthew in chapter 25 gives us a story about stewardship and the servants. It's told a little differently. The point of that is a little differently. But Jesus, it says here in the 19th chapter of Luke, told this particular parable about the 10 minas because these faithful followers of Jesus were expecting that the kingdom of God would immediately come. The circumstance, the situation that Jesus was in with his followers was that he had left Galilee for the last time as a mortal. Was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And this was a period of several months that they would be covering. And so we find in the 9th chapter of Luke where Jesus has asked people, follow me, follow me. And that's what that's all about. He knows that he's going to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. They don't know that. They just see this great teacher that's asking them to follow him. So they're following him, on his way to Jerusalem. And he tells this parable as he's figured out. He realizes, he's sensed and discerned that the people that are following him expect him to go to Jerusalem and become a king. They expect him to go to Jerusalem and receive a kingdom and to take over, and that they're going to take their property and their land and their government back from the Romans. And in no way, shape, or form is that the plan. But Jesus tells this to them because they're looking for an earthly king. And so then he tells them the story that fits right in with their expectations about this nobleman who went away to receive a kingdom for himself. So the background of this is at this time in the first century, the Romans ruled the world. And those that had proven themselves from various provinces, small provinces like even within Galilee and even within Judea, these small provinces that had several cities or many cities, leaders would go to Rome. They would be called to go to Rome, and the Roman officials would give them a kingdom, which was a region of many cities. And so that's the example that he's using here, is of a person who's done well in a particular community, and he's being called to Rome to receive a kingdom where he's the head of that kingdom. We remember that when Jesus was tried, he went before Herod. Because in a large portion of Judea, Herod was the king, and he had so many cities under him. He had been given that authority by Rome. So this is what Jesus was talking about. So he called 10 servants. The nobleman called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, 1 pound each, and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, I can't keep it to myself. The nobleman in this story that Jesus is telling, in this parable, the nobleman is really Jesus. He's really talking about himself going away to receive. But let me get back to the point in the 15th verse. So in the 13th verse, the nobleman takes 10 pounds, each pound being about 3.5 month wages. So it's a large chunk of money and divides it amongst 10 men. He gives the same amount, £1, to each of 10 men. And he says to them, occupy until I come. Now, this word occupy until I come, this is a phrase of commerce. It means to buy, sell, and trade. He's talking about do the business here for me until I return. I'm going to leave you all this large sum of money, dividing it up amongst 10 of you, that you will occupy until I come, that you will handle my business until I return. So in verse 15, the nobleman returned and called the servants to him to see what they had gained by trading. We probably know something about this story, that in the 16th verse, servant number one comes to him, and he says, what's your report? And servant number one says, well, I took the pound that you gave me and increased it to 10 pounds. So we know the story. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. He says, I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities. The next man comes, and the 1 pound that you gave me, and I increased it to 5 pounds. And he said, because of your faithfulness, my good and faithful servant, I'm going to make you a ruler over 5 cities. And then along comes the famous by now. Those that know the parable or anything about the parable know this man's famous by now, because this one comes and says, Lord, you gave me 1 pound. And he said, here is the 1 pound that you gave me. I kept it laid up in a napkin, safe and sound, because I know what kind of man you are. And he said, I've been watching you, and I know what kind of man you are. You reap where you didn't sow, and you gather where you didn't straw. I know how you are. And I knew that when you came back, first thing you're going to do was ask for that which you gave me. So I got it for you. I got it all wrapped up in a napkin because I know how you are. And then he said, here's your pound that I kept wrapped up in a napkin. And the nobleman looks at him and says, out of your own mouth, you have convicted yourself. You have convicted yourself. I don't even need to say a word. Out of your own mouth, you've convicted yourself. He says, because listen to what you said. I know what kind of man you are. If you knew what kind of man I was, for real, then you would have done what I told you to do. If you knew what kind of man I was, you would have acted like me in my absence and done like the first or the second man and gone to the bank and the money changers and invested your pound or my pound and made more other pounds. In other words, he was saying you didn't have to make 10 pounds like the other guy did. You didn't have to make 5 pounds like this guy did, but you should have done something. And I would have been more respectful if you had actually lost the pound, because at least you tried. His instructions to them were, occupy till I come. In other words, his instructions was, you act like me with my money until I return. That's the parable. And it goes on to say some more things. You need to read it for yourself, the 19th chapter of Luke, beginning actually with the first verse and reading all the way through this parable. But the part I'm focusing on is his instructions to the 10 men. Occupy until I come. Be me until I return. So now I let the cat out of the bag already, is that Jesus tells this parable, wherever he got it from, or if he made it up. In this parable, Jesus is the nobleman. And the receivers of the 10 minas are the church. And so Jesus has said to the church, occupy until I come. Be me until I come back. Oh, that's a powerful concept. So I'm going to tie that concept to something the Lord gave me about 9-10 years ago. It is a four-step, and most of the ministry, the preaching that I do is based on this four-step. I have a call from the Lord to preach on, teach on the authority of the church. Pretty much every message that you hear me speak and Jeremiah speaks is going to come back to the authority of the church. The church is the most powerful, magnificent, and authoritative body that's ever existed. The power and the glory that Jesus had walking the earth, turn it over to the church. Those miracles and signs that Jesus did, the church now has that power to do those. Jesus said, that which I do, greater shall you do because I go to the Father. He said, the works that I do, you'll do greater works because I go to the Father as your go-between, and you go before me to the Father, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So the church is an all-powerful institution. organism that it is. And oftentimes we don't realize how powerful we are. We don't, but getting back to the subject, there are four principles that I put before you this morning. In this teaching, there are four principles that the Lord gave me. The first one is Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18, Jesus took his disciples off the beaten path into a place called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was not a good place. It was a place that good Jews should not be found. Caesarea Philippi was the kind of place that what went on in Caesarea Philippi stayed in Caesarea Philippi, if you know what I mean. So Jesus takes his 12 to Caesarea Philippi, and that's where he asked them, whom do men say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then after that, in the 18th chapter, he says, again, I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, I've taken you to a place that's sinful, surrounded by sin, the people whose minds are not right, and folks say, don't even go there. They're so wicked, cruel, and corrupted. That's where I want my church. I wish I had a witness here. I wish somebody at home could say, hallelujah, glory to God. I want my church to be where the sin is. And I want my church, the strongest organism ever known to man, to overcome the sin there, lead souls to Christ, and pull them out. I don't need my church on Church Street. I wish I had a witness here. I don't need my church on the part of the city where all the other churches are. That's all right, but I really, and that's just a building there, but I really want the church, which is the called out community of believers, to be right in the center of the sin part of the city. So he says, upon this rock, Caesarea Philippi, the wicked of the wickedest, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the first principle, that the church is built by Jesus Christ himself. And it's built upon the rock where the church is to lead souls to Christ, where Christians can be made. And he's not talking about the building. He's not even talking about the word Christians. He's talking about his church leading souls to Christ. The second principle, first principle, upon this rock I'll build my church. Second principle, in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So in John 14:2, the B section of that, we focus on his assignment. Already he's built the church. He's going to turn his power and authority over to the church. Now, step number two, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going away. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I'm going away to do what the nobleman did, receive a kingdom. I'm going away to receive a kingdom and prepare a place for you. That's what he's saying. So number two, really easy. Jesus says, you're going to become the church. That you're going to become the church. On the day of Pentecost, the church was officially born. The grand salvation and outpouring of the Spirit of the living and true God, the Spirit of Jesus. Well, now he's saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. I am going away. I'm going to leave you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. I am going away to receive a kingdom from my Father and coming back. Now the third principle is today's text. The third principle is occupy until I come. In Luke 19:13, the central part of that scripture, upon this rock at Caesarea Philippi, in the middle of sin, wherever sin is, that's where I want my church. I want my church where the sinful folk can see the folk that are saved in Christ Jesus and will be attracted and drawn to accept Christ as their Savior. Upon this rock, I will build my church. It's not our church. It's not our building. It's not about a building. He says, my church, the church of the living and true God, the church of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the head. He's the head of the church. Second principle is, once I build my church, I'm going away. And then the third principle is, occupy until I come. I need my church, my called out community of believers, Christians. I need my church to be me until I come back. That is the message here. The message is, I need my church to do what Jesus was doing until the return of Jesus. Jesus is coming again. We as a church body, we believe that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for who? Spotted or wrinkled. He's coming back for what? His church, the church that he built on the rock. He's coming back for the church. He's gone away to prepare a place for us. He's coming back. What does he expect of this church? That until he comes back, the church is to do what Jesus was doing until his return. Occupy till I come. Then we say, well, how do we occupy? Now we go back to the three men. Well, the first man had been watching him. He had been watching his nobleman. And when he got the chance, he said, I'm going to invest this just like the nobleman did. When the nobleman returned, he said, I took 1 pound and made 10. That's awesome. That's incredible when it comes to investing. That's 1,000-fold? So then he comes back, and the next man says, well, I took the 1 pound and made 5 more. Wow, that's awesome as well. That's awesome as well. They were watching, and once they got the opportunity, they did what the nobleman had done. There is a gentleman who has something called the wisdom keys, and one of his wisdom keys, he says, is that if you have worked for a rich person all of your life and you retire on Social Security only, you are a failure. And he says, I don't want to talk about the failure part. He wants to talk about why did you not watch this person that you worked for all this time and learn from them and do what they did. Oftentimes we hear stories of people that cannot read and write, stories of people who have limited or no education, didn't get the chance in life that everybody else did. They were a butler, a gardener, a maid, whatever occupation they had, but they watched the person that they worked for, and they invested. And then recently we heard about this lady who was a custodian at a school all of her life. I'm not putting down the job of custodian. Some custodians make almost as much as teachers. But as a custodian, this person left millions of dollars to a university. Nobody knew she had that kind of money, but she had paid attention to the people around her that had money, and she invested like they did. And then in her will, she left all this money to a college that she had never attended. I'm saying today that Jesus wants us to watch his walk. Now, the third man, what did he say? The third man said, I know you. I know what kind of man you are. I know that you reap where you didn't sow, you gather where you didn't straw. I know that you're an austere man. I know how you are. You're tight on a dollar and all of this. I know you. I've been watching you. And the nobleman says, that's confusing. Because if you were watching me like you said you were, then you should have done what I've done. Hallelujah. If we are watching Jesus like we say we are, if we are reading his word like we say we are, if we are reading that red print in the Bible like we're supposed to, if we are studying with other folk, going to Bible study, hearing sermons and messages, praying to the same God, if we're doing those things and we say, I know Jesus, I know how he is, then we ought to be able to act like him. We ought to be able to, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Jesus is saying to us today, I want you to be me until I return. Occupy until I come. I need you to exercise those things that work for me. I don't need you to just be doing miracles to show that you can do them. I don't need you to stand in front of a group and show how many scriptures you know. I don't need you to brag about how good you can sing. I don't need you to show off the voice that I've blessed you with. I need you to do what I did. And what my ministry was to lead souls to Christ. Everything I did was to lead souls to the kingdom. And so we ought to be like Jesus. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. We ought to live to be like Jesus. Study, do all these things that we can, but at the end of the day, did I act like Jesus today? Did I do the will of the Lord today? When Jesus comes back, will he be pleased? Remembering that story, the nobleman didn't congratulate that one did more than the other, that one got 10 and one got 5, but he chastised the one who did nothing. And he chastised him and said, you have convicted yourself because not only did he do nothing, He boasted about how much he knew about his master when he really knew nothing about his master. How many people go to church a lot? How many people boast about knowing all these songs? How many people talk about what they've done in the church but don't know Jesus for themselves? This morning I come before you and I say our challenge and charge as a church is to occupy until he comes back. He's coming back, church. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. He doesn't care about the building, whether or not you wash your windows in the building, whether or not your sign is right out in front of the church. He wants to know the sign of the Christian in your heart. He wants to know that you're walking the walk and talking the talk and living like Jesus. They used to wear back in the late 80s bracelets that said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That we approach each and every circumstance in our life in a way with a walk like Jesus walked. Ah, this is a powerful concept. Full concept and the final concept is how do we occupy until he comes? Matthew 28:19 says, go teach and baptize. It says, go ye unto all the world. Tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Lead souls to Christ into the kingdom. Teach them about Jesus. Don't just go get them, but teach them about Jesus and then baptize them. That's go teach and baptize. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what we are supposed to do. I want to close out this morning. Well, perhaps there's someone today that says, well, I would want to know this Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. We open the doors of the church, as we traditionally say, meaning simply the doors are always open. We extend to you to learn more about Jesus. It starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, welcoming him into your heart, giving up the rulership of your own house to Jesus. You're trying to run your own life, make all your own decisions without consulting anybody because you're big enough and you're grown and finding out that that doesn't work so well. Jesus is there with his hands extended. The Bible says Jesus knocks on the door saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. Please let me come in. He doesn't force himself on us because we have a free will. But if you will deny yourself and say, I want Jesus to be my Savior, I accept him. I believe that God sent him, that he died for me and my sins, all of the world's sins, and then he was risen from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father pleading unto me, come, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If that's your desire today, we invite you to contact me or to contact a local minister or pastor or official, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We like and we appreciate that you listen to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, but we don't want you to be spectators and hearers only. We want you to be doers of the word as well. And finally, I close out with excitement. This upcoming week, beginning tomorrow, we are certainly excited about the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We're excited about the partnership with the Fivefold Ministry and where that's taken us, and you all have tuned in. You've done a mighty work in supporting this broadcast, praying for us, and tuning in on a regular basis, and now we're going 5 more days, Monday through Friday of every week at 7 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. We will be on the air with a word from the Lord. We are not going to do the same thing every night. Each night will be a little bit different. So some is teaching, some is preaching, but we're bringing it to you as best we can. Pray for the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Again, the contact information is the phone number is 804-313-7853, 804-313-7853. I prefer that you text me because I get so many calls. Sometimes they're listed as spam and not answered. But if you text me and mention this broadcast, then we'll get right back to you. But you're welcome to call. Also, finally, Go Teach and Baptize is our email, GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE@gmail.com. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. May God bless and keep you. Heaven smile upon you. Amen.
God bless you. We thank you so much for tuning in today. You just heard from Reverend Reed, and that's Jeremiah Speaks. Again, it's Reverend Reed, Jeremiah Speaks. God bless you. Each week we're on the air during the day, and we also will be coming on Monday through Fridays. Please tune in and listen to us. God bless you again. Now this is our segment of the Fivefold Ministry. We want to get our guests in today. It's Apostle Alexander Lockamy. Again, that's Apostle Alexander Lockamy, right out of North Carolina. We're going to call him this morning and see can we get him on the air. Please stand by.
Hi, the person you've reached is using a screening service from Google.
We're not able to reach him again this morning. We will call back and see can we get him. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. God bless you as we go into the inner courts. God bless you. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. As we try to get him, please stay tuned. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Fivefold Ministry. Amen. We will attempt to call in one last time. Hold on, please. God bless you again. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We are trying to get our host today, which is Apostle Alexander Lockamy. Again, we're trying to reach Apostle Alexander Lockamy. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. God bless you, Apostle Lockamy. How are you? This is the Fivefold Ministry calling, Apostle Margie Mercer. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. Highly favored.
How are you? I'm okay. I'm highly blessed as well. I would tell our radio audience I wanted to call you. You're an awesome man of God. You're an awesome teacher, and you have this beautiful gift of revelation knowledge. Yes, I just want to take a few minutes of your time. Apostle, I know we was talking a subject yesterday. Let's get right into it. You hear some people say, I am to forgive you for what you've done to me, but I can't forget. Is there any words of wisdom that you would like to talk about on that subject matter?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, because the Bible takes it further than that, because we as Christians have to do better than that, because that's what the world does. The world said, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. But we as Christians, we're born-again believers. We have to take it an extra mile. God said, if you give you your, ask you for your cloak, give me your coat also. And ask you to go a mile for you to go 2 miles, an extra mile. We have to go the extra mile. We have to forgive even when we don't feel like forgiving. And we have to forget it, too, because by not forgetting it, it's going to be in our hearts. It's going to be lingering around in our mind. And eventually, it may build up animosity. It may cause a root to grow, you know, a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. Keeping it in your mind will cause leavens, you know. It's like yeast and bread. So now it'll grow. And every time you see that person, you're going to have an attitude towards them in your mind because you didn't forget it. You have to forget it. It don't mean that we won't remember it when we see that person, but it means we won't be holding no grudge. We won't be having no hatred. We won't have no animosity in our hearts towards them. We'll love them in spite of what they've done to us. And we won't be talking about it all the time, telling everybody what they did to me. God don't want you telling everybody what somebody did to you. Yes, I forgive them, but I won't never forget what they're doing. Well, God said, what if I did you that way? What if I forgave you but didn't forget what you did and hold everything you did against you? Then you wouldn't get no blessing because I will remember all the stuff you did. God is forgiving God, and he catches in the sea of forgiveness. And if you ask the Lord tomorrow what you did, he won't even remember, because he said he catches in the sea of remembrance. God don't hold our grudge. He don't hold our wrongdoing. He don't hold, and see, we represent God. And since we represent God, especially as leaders, we represent God, and because it steals our joy when we hold on to things like that and don't let it go. And the Bible and leaders need joy. And God was talking to me about joy and leadership. How so many leaders and leaders, they ain't got no joy. They done lost their joy. They done lost their stamina. They done lost their drive. Why? Because they're holding on to malice and unforgiveness and leadership. And they know the word. When you know the way, the Bible says when you know the way, walk therein. And the leaders know the way, but it's bothering God that leaders know the way, but they ain't walking the way. The scripture said, "Thou that is the leader, he that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, does thou commit adultery? He that said, thou shalt not kill, does thou kill?" We teach it, but we don't walk in yet. So since we teach forgiveness, we need to forgive ourselves. We, you know, the Lord gave us an example in the Bible how that there was a man there who the man owed the king like 10,000 talents, and the king brought him in and told him to pay me, and I'm going to make it short. And the king told him to pay me, and the man said, "The king, I don't have no money to pay you." He begged the king, "Please, king, please forgive me." So the king, with mercy and compassion, with tears in the eyes, forgave the man, sent the man home, said, "Understand now, if this man did not pay his money, he's going to get thrown into prison. And he won't stay there until the bill got paid. And we're going to pay $10,000 for him. His family and everybody else is going to get thrown into prison." So the king forgave him, gave him another chance, told him, "You don't owe me nothing. Go home." The man goes down the street and finds a man that owe him nothing but 10 little old dollars. He tells the man, "Pay me my $10. The man says, "Sir, I ain't got no $10. Please have mercy on me." The Bible said he choked the man and beat the man and threw the man in jail. But the servants of the king saw what the man did and went back and told the king what that man did. So the king arrested the man again and said, "How could you not be merciful? I forgave you for $10,000, and you went down the road and killed for $10. Throw him in prison, and he stayed there until he paid that debt." So that's the way we are. We like that. We forget how much God forgave us for all the means of sin we committed before he forgave us. All the iniquity, all the wrongdoing. God has a morning cussing God out. We lay down at night cussing God, calling the blasphemy in name, bringing his name to shame. And out of all that, God forgave us, and he loved us. Yet we can't forgive one another. We got family members. We got cousins, aunts, brothers, and uncles. I preached a funeral back here some few months ago. And in the funeral, I was preaching about forgiveness. And this guy came to me at the end of the funeral and told me, he said, it was tears in his life. "Thank you for the message, sir." He said, "Because me and my brother ain't talking 30 years, and here I am, the preacher." Sometimes we as leaders got to be the big. Somebody got to be the man. Somebody got to be the bigger one. Somebody got to be the adult. Somebody got to take the initiative and go say, "Okay, I'm going to fix this problem." Family members having unforgiveness in the heart, one to the ain't spoke to one another in years, ain't had no family reunion. Then when you go to the family, you one sit and look at one way, one look at another. So it is important that we not hold on to unforgiveness, because it will destroy us. Actually, it will cause us to lose out with God, because God said, "If you don't forgive me and to trust that, neither will I forgive you." So a lot of people are going to stand before God in judgment, and he's going to say, "Depart from me," not because they committed a hideous sin, not because they robbed a bank, but because they went through life holding their unforgiveness in their heart, and God didn't forgive them for their sin, because God is not a lying God. He said, "If you don't forgive your brother your trespass, neither will I forgive you." So this is important, that we focus on this and have inventory ourselves and make sure that we are truly forgive and still not still holding on to that brokenness.
Wow, that's beautiful, Apostle. So not only are we supposed to forgive those who have done things to us, but we're supposed to forget according to what you say. So forgive and forget. That's powerful.
Yeah, forget it. Don't think about it. Don't know. Like I said, the thought may come, but don't entertain the thought. You know, thought's going to come. That old saying said that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but if he's flying a nest in your hair, it's your fault.
Wow.
You're going to stand still too long. You don't need to stand still on thoughts and let them entertain you. Yeah, don't be mad at the person. I actually start doing things that show that you repent.
Wow.
Sometimes you can do repented things to show you repented. When Zachariah was in the sycamore tree, he changed out. Not only did he repent, he said, but I give back. Did he not say that? I give back. I give back. If I took anything from any man wrong, he said, I give it back to him. He was not just willing to forgive. He was willing to give back if anything, if he hurt anybody, if he took anybody, you know, he would attack the leper. So if he wronged anybody, he said, Lord, I'll give it back to them. All you got to do is say the word. See, that's true repentance when you're willing to go the extra mile. You know what I'm saying? Still walling your eyes at somebody and you come out, you don't forget, you sitting at a leader, them prophesying, speaking all into them, running all over the church, turning chairs over. God forbid we act like that. We forget that God is looking at us. He sees what we are doing. And God said, now you don't put that performance on in the church, up there in the pulpit, and lay a hand on the sick cat and not demon, and you ain't got enough power to forgive somebody.
Wow. Forgive and forget. I'm still laughing at what you said, Apostle, about and keeping a cloud over our head. We even got a nest because we still remembering all those things.
The bird sat down and put a nest. Had no legs and eggs in it. And we yet didn't realize. See, the devil will have you blind that you cannot see your own fault. It's kind of like playing checkers. And you're standing up watching somebody play checkers. You can know every move they wrong they fit to make. You can play checkers, whatever. You see the move they fit to make because you're watching. Many times people can see your fault when you can't see your fault. And God will send them to you to tell you, you need to forgive so-and-so. I ain't mad at nobody. I done forgave them. Yeah, I just ain't forgot it. Well, that's the part, God. That's why God sent me to you. That's the part he wants you to get rid of. He wants you to forget it.
Wow.
Don't remember no more.
Wow, that's what Reverend Reed was speaking about this morning, that we need to occupy till Christ comes, live a certain life, live a certain way, live in love and forgiveness like Christ did. Can you say something about how we should occupy, how we should be till Christ come?
Yeah, he told us to occupy, come. In other words, he said that when he come back, he want to see us at the door, occupied, doing what he told us. He told the parable about the man that left the door. He said he left the man in charge at the door. When he came out, the man was out there beating his servant. I said treating his servant bad and getting drunk, having a party, and he lost out. The Lord said when he come back, he want to see us at the door. Doing what he told us to do. This is a 24-hour thing. You don't stop in between the time you're going to quit. Because we don't know when he comes. We don't know what hour. Oh, shot. I let him host it. Excuse me. Oh, my God. Get excited over here. We don't know what hour or the moment that the Son of God going to appear. He could appear right while we're talking right now. The phone fall out of my hand. We don't know when he's going to come. We don't know when to wrap. That's why he said, be ye also ready. Be ye occupied so you won't be like the five foolish virgins. They didn't lose out. Somebody preached about they lost out because they didn't have no oil. No, they lost out because they weren't ready. They weren't ready to go in and meet the bridegroom. Of course, they needed oil to go in and meet him, but they weren't ready. He said, be ye all, if you read that parable, he said, be ye also ready. For you know not day or the hour. That parable was told. It reminds us that we got to be ready. We can't decide along the way we're going to go back in the world to the club and try to do those things that we used to do. No, we don't live out there. We don't do those things no more. We got to stay ready 24 hours a day.
Wow. So when we occupy, so we can occupy our kingdom because we have repented of our sin and we're living differently?
Yes, and doing whatever calling God gave you. He said, be you steadfast and immovable. You can't let life circumstance and family and hurt and disappointment and sickness and setback and unemployment and job failure and your children and your family. You can't let them stop you from doing ministry. You got to be steadfast and immovable, always abiding in the word God gave you. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, many times people would come and try to discourage you, tell you, oh, God didn't call you to be an apostle. He didn't call you to be an evangelist. He didn't call you to do that, do that. You get quit along the way. You can't quit for what people say. You got to know your call. calling and your election sure. And when you know that God has called you, you got to be steadfast and immovable. Let nothing and nobody detour you from the calling that God gave you. Because when you stop along the way, souls will require your hands, and many souls will be lost just because you didn't do what the Lord said you do. God don't have time for pity party. He don't have time for pouting. He called us to work. He said work. He didn't say pout while in the day. He said work while in the day. So when others do it wrong, we have to do like that old goat down in that well. We have to shake it off and keep on going. Shake it off. Pack it on our feet.
Yeah.
Paul said, I counted it as
done. I counted
it as lost.
Wow. Apostle, can you give us the name of your church, please?
Yes, Burning Bush Non-Denominational Deliverance Church, 402 North 13th Street in Irwin, North Carolina.
And what is that, 402?
402 North 13th Street.
Irwin, North Carolina.
E-R-W-I-N, North Carolina, 28339.
The Burning Bush. What made you call your church the Burning Bush?
God gave it to me in a dream. I asked the Lord that, should I name the church like Daniel did? And I prayed, and I said, God, what do I name the church? So in a dream, he told me, the Burning Bush Church, Deliverance Church. So I had another member in the dream. One of my members came to me and said that, no, you don't need to name the church Burning Bush Non-Denomination, because we need to be a denomination. Because if you're in a denomination, people ain't going to want to come. I said, God told me to name this church the Burning Bush Non-Denomination. I said, and that's what we're going to name it. Thank you for your advice. I said, but that's what God told me. That was in a dream. So God gave me that name in a dream.
Wow, that is beautiful, the Burning Bush. I love what you said, how we have to occupy the kingdom and the church until he comes. Can you give us a prayer this morning? I know you have to hurry off to service yourself, but can you give our listeners a prayer this morning as well as myself?
Yes, and above all, I want this prayer to be more so for the listener too, but I want it to be more so for leaders. That God has had me praying for, as an apostle, my job is to establish churches and establish leaders. Because if the leader's not perfected, the church can't be perfected. If the leader's not growing, the church ain't going to grow. And a leader got to understand that he can not only take himself, but he got to take the church with him. He got to make sure the church ain't growing with him, make sure the gifts of the church is growing in the church and longer with him, because it's not about him. Because without the leader, without the followers, then the church will not be successful. Yeah, Michael Jordan was good. He hit about 60 points in one game, and they still lost. One player cannot win the team. It takes everybody working together. So I'm going to pray the leader will take the hand of the flock and use the gift. And I say this to leaders before I pray. You got members in your church that got gifts that you are not using. And the church will be further down the road. And you will don't preach all the sermons, leader. Don't try to do Bible study and Sunday school and devotional school and all them schools. You got leaders in there that have abilities and talent that to fill those gaps so God can have you somewhere else doing something else and, yes, spreading the gospel. So, God, I come to you in the name of Jesus in behalf of leaders, Lord. First of all, I want you to restore the joy in the leaders, Lord. The leaders have lost their joy. Not all of them, Lord, but you told me that leadership joy. Give the leaders back that joy, God, in the name of Jesus. Whatever is happening, whatever is going on, whatever is causing them to lose their joy, fix it, God. You said I'll do these things that your joy may be full. So fix it, Lord. Answer the prayer and give the leader back that joy, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, help the leaders of the forgive. Not only preach on forgiveness, oh God, but help the leaders to forgive, God. No, sometimes the members can hurt the leader's heart. Sometimes family can hurt the leader's heart. Sometimes the neighbors can hurt the leader's heart. And the leaders walk around with hurt and unforgiveness, Lord. But God, help the leader to forgive and get rid of it, not hold on to it, not remember it no more. You heal that wound right now. You forgive that forgiveness right now. As they lay it down, you heal them, God, so they won't have to walk around with a hurt and that wound anymore. Build up the leaders where they're torn down, oh God. Mount them up with wings like an eagle. They'll be able to run and not be weary. Be able to walk and not faint. Restore their joy to the fullness of it and use them, Lord. They be steadfast. And they maintain in times like these. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Apostle Alexander Lockamy, we thank you so much for coming over with Word of Wisdom this morning. You're listening to the Apostle from Burning Bush in Irwin, North Carolina. If they would like to reach you, they could call the fivefold right here, or would you like them to call the church number? If they would like to reach you for more wisdom and prayer, is there a phone number, sir?
Yes, 910-658-5206.
Again?
910-658-5206.
Thank you so much. You all have been listening to Apostle Alexander Lockamy from the Burning Bush in Irwin, North Carolina. Truly, we are blessed to have him today. He's on his way to his service. We thank you, sir, and God bless you. I know you have to hang up at this time to get ready for your own service. Thank you for tuning in with us today.
Yes, thank you for inviting us. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you again. You listen to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We had wisdom coming in this morning from our Apostle Lockery out of North Carolina. Truly, he is a blessing to the ministry as well. And as Reverend Reed said this morning, and also Apostle Lockery, that we have to occupy until Christ come. Again, we have to occupy until Christ come. We have to live accordingly. Not only are we are to forgive and forget, but we are to exercise the ministry of Jesus Christ in us each and every day. Again, you listen to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Let us go in and praise God. Amen.
Almighty, you're stronger than any other. One thing that I desire of you, I may dwell here with you forever. I'm chasing no other. When I come to the end of my journey.
Yes, you just heard Kevin Downswell, Carry Me. Yes, we want God to carry us, and God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. We listen to Apostle Alexander Lockamie this morning out of Irwin, North Carolina. If you would like to reach Apostle Lockamie, that's 910-658-5206. Truly, he is a wise man of the Lord. We thank God for the wisdom that he has given him. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. If you would like to get in touch with us, that's P.O. Box 9786. Again, that's Fivefold Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. That's 21284. If you would like to email us or to write us, or you have any questions, or you would like to invite us to your organization, it is FFMW. F like five, F like four, M like ministry, W like worldwide, ffmw.inc, I-N-C, at verizon.net. Truly, we thank God for you for tuning in each week, listening to us. We just got back from our special assignment, and that song was playing. It is so beautiful. I heard it initially from a young man that was planted in Jamaica, and truly I fell in love with the song. Again, this is our disclaimer. We try to promote the artists. They own rights to their own music, and we're just trying to promote the beautiful songs of Zion so you can go out and make those purchases. Again, this is Carry Me by Kevin Downswell. God bless you. Amen. So much for praying for us. We just got back from our missionary journey. We went to Jamaica. We fellowshiped there with Apostle Cleon Mears. Again, we was in Jamaica at the Glory House Healing and Deliverance Ministry. We had a great time in the Lord. We was truly just blessed to be in the presence of the pastor as well as his people. We had a safe flight over and back. We thank God for that. We had no problems at all, and we was able to stay in Rural Negril. It was such a beautiful place. Rural Negril Hotel was very nice. we were able to taste all the different island cuisine food. I had the curry goat. I had the oxtail, as well as the curry chicken, the red beans, and cabbage. We had a good time. We were able to just abase ourselves, just sit back and lay on the beach and pray to the Father, as well as just to enjoy the fresh, open air. I thank you so much. I always tease that I'm one that can't swim, but I did go out on a boat. I was able to rent a boat, and we went out on the islands and traveled around the Caribbean, and it was a most rewarding experience. The boat had a glass bottom, so we was able to see the ocean floor and the fish. It was amazing to me how God's creation could breathe on the water for so long and just be able to have habitation. You know, when you really look at the nature of God and you look at his beaches and his sand and you just look at his sun and his wind, it's just marvelous the things that God has made. You know, as I was in the Caribbean, I looked around at the mountains and I spoke to one of the gentlemen there and I said, so many mountains around Jamaica. And he said, when they have the hurricane, the storms, that the Lord has provided the mountains away from all the hectic weather and the ocean waves. So he said it is a blessing the way that the island of Jamaica is made with the mountains. So it's so much history, you know, when you go to different countries and you're able to fellowship with different ones and you can enjoy their food. It was truly an overflow of blessings. I mean, the people were so warm, they were humble, they was receptive and obedient to the move of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you in fellowship across the world, you want everyone to be on one accord. So we thank God that we were all on one accord and that we were able to receive what God had for us in the overflow. You know, matter of fact, I feel like here in Sinai, an overflow from the Lord. Let us go in to enjoy it. God bless you. This is to Jamaica. Amen.
The land, it is green. A new grace has been released. The glory of the latter is greater than the former. The blessing is up your hands. The glory of the latter is greater than the former. The blessing of Jesus, are you? There's a love of God, abundance of favor. It's a new level. It's a new level. There's a love of God. I'll take it over.
Somebody wave your hand. Offer your family. Offer your education. Offer your finances. Come on.
Up to the nation.
Beyond
my wildest dreams, what the Lord is doing, my reality.
Truly it was an overflow as we was in the nation of Jamaica. We was truly blessed. We thank God again for Apostle Mears in the Glory House Healing and Deliverance Ministry. We had a good time while we was in Jamaica. We were able to network with other churches, and we were able to establish more of extension of the fivefold ministry abroad. Again, we were able to establish churches, the main church in Jamaica under Apostle Mears, under the fivefold ministries, and we thank God for him and his leadership and for the churches that attend that night. Truly, it was an overflow from God. I was able to see my friend, Evangelist Jackie McKay, who introduced me to the pastors. We had a good time as girls in the Lord. I was able to enjoy that. As I said, that carry goat, the oxtails, oh my gosh, coconut fish, as including lake trout. It was so nice that just to taste the different spices of the food, we were able to get around the island and see different cities that's in Jamaica. It was truly a beautiful experience. People were warm and friendly. You know, it's good when you can break bread as mothers, as brothers, and also with the mothers, and to sit with the congregation in love. You know, this is how God wants us to be, to occupy till he come, for us to occupy in faith and trust and brotherhood, fellowship, and love. And God bless you today. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. As I said before, that we were able to break bread with our partners. There was so much love and there was so much kindness and mercy. We thank God for that. Again, we just want to say to you that each week we can be heard on this radio station. We thank you for praying for us. Safety as we went on our assignment abroad, and we were also able to network with our elder in Pakistan. We have been fellowshipping with our church there for a year and a half. We were able to see the congregation through video and to hear the good Christianity words of encouragement that the people of Pakistan are getting. So we want to give a special shout-out to the nations of Jamaica and Pakistan. Thank you for your warm reception and being a part of the Fellowship of the Fivefold Ministry. If you would like to get in touch with us, again, it is F like five, F like fold, M like ministry, W like worldwide, .inc. That's ffmw.inc@verizon.net. Please write us at P.O. Box 9786. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, this is the Fivefold Ministry. God bless you as we have returned from our missionary journey. And we thank God for your prayers because there was a lot of love praying for us, and we truly had a good time as we went into Montego Bay, such a beautiful island. God bless you again, and let us sit back and just enjoy listening to another song of the Lord. Amen.
Your love is patient. my heart with so much peace and joy. You're amazing. You make my life feel brand new. You're amazing. You make my life feel brand new. Jesus, you love me to my soul.
Because he loves us so. We thank God for that beautiful song by Chiwu, that truly the mercies and the love of God is so extra. It's more than what we can imagine just because he loves us so. The message today, as we heard from not only Reverend Reed but Apostle Lockamy, is to occupy until Christ comes. You know what that means, to occupy, is not only should we just stay clear of things that would keep us from dwelling in the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost of God, but also for us to walk worthy of that profession of faith that we have in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that the ministry of Jesus should be on the inside of every Christian believer. We are his disciples, that we need to walk worthy and to do the works of God in love, forgiveness, and to forget those things that others may have done to us so that we can be humble in ourselves and be forgiven by the Father. We want to say again that as we walk to encourage each other in love, that there is no one like our God, that we are to show that love one to one another and to have such a good fellowship of peace. As I say, we just coming back from Jamaica, and we was able to fellowship with churches and with the pastor in such love and embrace. It was like on the day of Pentecost, we was all on one accord. We was able to pour out our love and affection to God and to praise him accordingly that God showed up. And you know, when God shows up into a gathering, there is peace, there is joy, there is hope, and miracle signs and wonders for those who believe. So we thank God that as we have traveled to other nations, that we realize that there's no one like God. There's no one as being a believer of Christ as you. Thank you again for tuning in to us. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. There's another song that I like by Nathaniel Basie, and where he says that there's no one like you. Even, I'm telling you, it's such a beautiful group. I would encourage you to just listen to the different artists. Truly, it's a blessing when we're able to fellowship and break bread together through other nations of hope, of faith, and love, and brotherhood. God bless you again as we sit back and embrace the praise of God. Amen.
Yourselves as you get ready for your morning service,
We just want to exalt and encourage you in the things of God and to say to you that you are special and that you are God's beloved. Don't you know that he made you in his image, that even in the day of creation, that he breathed breath into your body and you became a living being? From that day of creation up to over 4,000 years later, we are still occupying this earth that was made, the heavens above and the heavens below, that through the magnificent, the awe of God himself, the creator, that everything that was and ever will be is made by the Father. We thank God for all his planets, his sun, his moon. We thank God for all the miraculous things that seen that he has done for us and unseen. We thank God for the very life that we have in our breath, that truly God is a good God. He's an awesome God. We love him so. And we thank you for listening to the Fivefold Ministry as we abase ourselves and get ready to worship God and go about our daily plans on this Sabbath. We want to encourage you to put a smile on your face and to know that your God is able. If God can't do it, it just can't be done. God bless you. Let us sit back and enjoy Sina now, one of my favorite artists, as she sings to glorify our Lord. Amen. God bless you. This time, that if you just want a closer walk with God and you do not know him in the pardon of your sins, or if You just want to say, God, forgive me that I have not done all the things that I need to do, but I love you, Lord, and I want to occupy till you come. Let us look at the prayer of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, which is our Lord's Prayer. We just want to say this morning that, Heavenly Father, we repent. We repent of the things that's not pleasing in your sight. Help us to have a deeper confession of faith. Help us to occupy and do the things that you want us to do until you come and crack open the sky and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, we have accepted the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We know, Father, that through his death, through his life, through the shedding of his blood on Calvary, that we have eternal life. We want to say to you that we are grateful. We are grateful for the opportunity to just to look to the hills with coming for help, nor help do we know. We ask, Father, for all the listeners today, oh, Father, from the north, west, the south, the east, Father, that you will bless all of us, God, through every nation, every region, every city, every state, that we'll be able to glorify your name, that we'll be able to praise you and live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we can occupy with all matters of faith. God bless us today. Save us and our household. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. And we want to say thank you, Father, and Abba. In Jesus' name, we all gather around to say amen.
Oh,